Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
We have a special edition of Ask the CIO this week. My special guest is Lieutenant Colonel Bobby Saxon, the Division Chief for the Army Enterprise Management Decision Support System.
Lieutenant Colonel Saxon, always a pleasure to have you back. Let's start with some basics. EMDS, what is it and what does it do for the Army?
EMDS, the Enterprise Management Decision Support System, is a SIPRNet-based or classified network-based, a web-enabled software application that pulls together data from about 20 different sources across the Army, brings that together and paints a picture in a holistic way in order to allow action officers, leaders, senior leaders to make decisions.
And it's not just decisions, it's decisions specifically around the readiness of certain divisions or of the entire Army.
Yeah, we look primarily at the operating force. So what you typically think of is the soldiers that go do the action. So the brigades, the divisions, the battalions that would be deploying to Iraq or to Afghanistan. We primarily do readiness, but we also do a tremendous amount of resourcing as well. So we look at whether or not a unit actually has all of its equipment, as well as does all of that equipment actually work? Is it serviceable? And are the troops indeed trained on that equipment, which is more readiness versus resourcing?
This has been in use for how long? What we're talking about is the next version of it, but you guys have had this system in place for at least a few years.
That's correct. We started development back in 2008. We reached full operational capability in December of 2010. And we just completed our most recent version release, which was primarily focused on readiness.
This came about because of the 20 disparate systems, the need to kind of bring that information together during the global war on terror, the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. Give me a sense of, because I want to get into the updated version, but how has it helped the Army kind of ensure that soldiers, they're ready to deploy when they are needed?
Well, the foundation of our system was based almost entirely on looking at units that were going through transformation, or units that were deploying, or units that were mobilizing. As the system has evolved and we've gathered more and more data over the last couple of years, we've been able to paint a much larger picture. So we're looking more at Army aggregate data as opposed to an individual unit. Now, our system still gives you all of the readiness information and the resourcing information for the brigades, for example, but it also now is able to paint a more holistic picture for the Army as a whole.
And obviously that's beneficial because you could see if one unit, let's say, is not trained in a specific area and they're going to be deployed, somebody can make the decision, say, oh, we need to get them that training before they're deployed, while maybe last time it was a less precise approach.
The system has continued to evolve, continued to gather more data in order to paint, again, a more holistic picture out there. Your example is very spot on. We can take a look at a unit. So, for example, if a brigade was planned to be deployed 6 months from now to Afghanistan, we can tell you where that brigade is today, not only with its equipment and its people and its training level, but also, again, the readiness piece of that. As that unit moves closer to its deployment date, we can track the metrics on that unit to tell you if they are on track with their aim points. Are they meeting the right gate checks in order to be ready to deploy by a certain date?
Now, you guys have recently launched version 2, if you will, of the system, EMDS. What are some of the major changes with it?
Well, the evolution of EMDS, this past year, we were almost exclusively focused on the readiness piece. When EMDS originally reached FOC back in December of 2010, we were very focused on the resourcing side of this. Last year, it was more about the readiness piece. So we're very closely with the Army G3, with their operations directorate, to develop and to incorporate and paint a much better picture of the readiness. So now we can tell you not only that a unit has 97% of its soldiers, but we can also tell you what percentage and what groupings of those soldiers are medically ready, are ready to deploy, may have some other type of issue that would keep them from deploying. And we can also do the exact same thing with the equipment as well.
People think of resources, they think of anything from boots to guns to vehicles to, I guess, food even. Is that what you mean by resource? Or is a resource even can include money and people as a resource? Meaning, do they have enough medics or do they have enough IT people?
It's a little bit of all of that, actually. Our system doesn't get deep into the weeds. There are a lot of authoritative data systems out there that we pull data from, that if you needed to go check to see if they had enough boxes of MREs, for example, their systems that provide that kind of information. We move that up a couple of levels from there. So we can tell you if they have all of their big pieces of equipment, if they have their howitzers, if they have their tanks, if they have their people movers. We can tell you if they have all of the, not only the right number of people, but the right types of people. So if they do have their medics, if they have their infantrymen, if they have their communications specialists in their teams. We can do the same thing with the training. We can let you know if they've done all of the proper types of training from a unit point of view in order to be ready to deploy. What we can't tell you is an individual soldier qualified with his weapon, because there's a separate database that tracks that. That's not what we're providing to the action officers. But at that higher level, has this unit done the right collective type of training that it should be doing?
Bringing together the readiness piece as well as the resource piece, that obviously, as you mentioned a couple times, the holistic view of a unit or of a brigade of what's of soldiers who are ready. What does that do for the people in charge, you know, the officers who are making decisions, whether it's the, you know, Secretary of the Army or the Chief of Staff who are saying, okay, this is the next unit to go. Do they have an opportunity to look at this information and kind of make better decisions now?
That's the intent, is that we will paint that picture for a unit as it moves through what's called the Arforgen cycle, the Army Force Generation cycle, as it moves from beginning to end to, which is the deployment piece of that. We can tell you how that unit moves through and how it gets closer and closer to being actually ready to deploy out there. We refer to it, really, it's just come out of the senior leaders' offices, but it's readiness to the desktop. Now, in one tool, you can go find data that was previously available in a couple of dozen different systems out there. And you can see that data painted in a very common way. So if you want to look at a brigade combat team or a maneuver enhancement brigade or a division or a battalion, you can see that data the same way. So you know if that unit is it on track to deploy? Are there problems that need to be addressed earlier? Because now we're bringing that to light much earlier, that a senior leader can influence if a unit doesn't have the right type of training or if there need to be new people moved into that unit.
We have to take a break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. This is a special edition of Ask the CIO. My guest today is Lieutenant Colonel Bobby Saxon, the Division Chief for the Army Enterprise Management Decision Support System.
Join Sweet Honey in the Rock, yes, Sweet Honey in the Rock, for a special holiday concert on Sunday, November 25th at 2 p.m. The concert will be held at the Weinberg Center for the Arts in Frederick, Maryland, and proceeds will benefit the Religious Coalition for Emergency Human Needs, a nonprofit providing residents of Frederick County with emergency financial assistance for over 30 years. For more information or to purchase your tickets, visit theweinbergcenter.org. That's theweinbergcenter.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. This is a special edition of Ask the CIO. My guest today is Lieutenant Colonel Bobby Saxon, the Division Chief for the Army Enterprise Management Decision Support System.
Let's get into some more of the details of that version 2. Specifically, you guys have added some new features, such as search or data exploration tools. There's also some keywords, bookmarking capabilities. Go through some of that, because if you're an officer who's using this tool, what are you getting now that maybe you didn't get 6 or 9 months ago?
From the big picture, the additional readiness data is what you get. But when you start to get into the weeds of what we do, we've tried to make this a tool that is much more user-friendly and easier for the non-IT person to be able to get access to the data. You mentioned the search capabilities. We had some basic search capabilities in a previous version, but we wanted to enhance that because as we gained more data in our system, there's just so much data now that it's hard to go find what you need. So we reached out and incorporated a new tool which called Endeca. Oracle bought this tool a little over a year ago, and we're an Oracle database, an Oracle BI system. We brought in the Endeca, which kind of took our search capability and put it on steroids. It also gave us the ability to look at much larger pieces of data as well as the ability to look and to dig into and explore unstructured data, which is something we did not have the capability to do. So out of that, we've started developing tag clouds, for example. So commanders' comments are in our system. Those commanders' comments, we can reach into that data. We can look at over 6,000 units. We can find what they're talking about, and that can bubble to the top via the tag cloud usage. And that may allow senior leaders to discover problems that they were unaware of before, because it would have taken numerous action officers digging into a lot of different data and really getting a sampling versus taking a look at all 6,000 of the units out there. That Endeca piece is real critical for us. We've also used the Endeca piece to allow us to do bookmarks. Bookmarks within our system allow a user to go in, do an advanced search, say, you know what, I really like that. I want to keep that search. I'm going to use that search over and over again. In addition to that, I want to share that with other users. And that was a capability we didn't have previously, and we wanted to put that in order to allow users to use that.
I want to back up to the big data issue, because one of the issues I think every agency is facing, whether they do what you guys are doing, readiness and resources, or just data more generally, how to deal with the unstructured data, how to deal with the massive amounts of data. Without getting too much into the tool itself, how are you guys doing that? I mean, you probably have data standards of some sort already in process, but how are you dealing with the unstructured piece differently?
Well, the Army has lots of formalized structured data, and we do all we can to conform to that and how we, not only how we consume that data, but how we utilize and how we present that data. But quite frankly, there are a lot of legacy systems out there that have not done the conversion to a more formalized, more structured way of presenting their data. So a lot of times we get data in from data sources that it's great data, but it may be in a very unique format or a unique way of how they had built their database originally. You do that across 20-something systems, and suddenly you can have disparate data that actually means very same thing or similar type things. With a tool like Endeca, we can have that bubble to the top, because now we can start to see trends, we can see patterns. We can say, for example, that word A also equals B, C, and D, and that now brings in and allows us to present the data in a different way.
Did you guys have to go through that, make that crosswalk, that A now equals also B, C, and D?
We are going through it now. In some cases, the data providers have been very helpful with that. In other cases, it's a trial and error. As we continue to consolidate more data, as we continue to try to figure out a way to take advantage of the big data, and especially the unstructured data, we're kind of finding our way along with that.
The other thing that this updated version is helping you guys do is giving you, I think, as you guys said, more accurate and timely reports, Army Enterprise reports. Before this version came through, what's the difference between these reports and the ones maybe that were done 6 months ago?
Probably the biggest difference is, and we use Endeca a lot for this now as well, because not only do they do the data exploration for us, but they've helped us with the reporting piece of this as well. We're able to go grab the data and present it in a more understandable way and do it more real time in our database. Previously, with as much data as we had to do a lot of static type reports. Users did not have the ability to go out and say, you know what, I need this, 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 and this. I need the brigades from the National Guard who haven't deployed in the last 12 months. How do I bring that data into the system, and how do I get a report on that? We just simply simplified that, and we've expanded our groupings of reports. So now we have more personnel reports. We have more equipment reports. We have more readiness type of reports in our system.
Are people using EDMS more and more, or is it a finite set of people who want to know this information and use the information?
It is a growing user base with our system. We have a core set of users that use the system on a regular basis, and they're kind of the grunts that are digging into some of the data out there. I got a call just this morning from a user in Italy who had an issue, was trying to figure out how to get in our system and see if they could find the answer to this question that had been posed to them. So we walked them through how to use our tool that way.
Does that surprise you when you get calls like that from outside kind of the U.S. or even the D.C. area, of people who maybe came across your system by accident and then are like, hey, this exists, you know, how do I use this?
It's a wonderful, pleasant surprise to get a call from somewhere at another time zone where a user is taking advantage of our tool. But as our user base has grown, so has the word of mouth about our tool. We've been very fortunate. And in the last 6 months, especially, as we completed most of that readiness work, there's been an increased interest in our in EMDS, and our users are starting to sprout up all around the world.
This is just an Army tool, but is this are you already starting to get some knocks on the door from the Navy or the Air Force saying, hey, maybe this is something we could use as well?
This is just an Army tool. I have not had those kind of knocks. I have had conversations in general with other services about this capability. One of the challenges with DOD is to figure out how many tools are out there and to reel all of those in. We've got a tool that serves the Army right now, but it is a tool that could be used as a foundation to serve any portion of DOD.
All right, so maybe you'll get some knocks now on your door from us talking. This is actually the second time we spoke. I think we spoke first in February when you mentioned the changes to EMDS. One of the things at that time you said coming looking out was the idea of launching a dashboard to display readiness information. That effort seems to be the way you described it to just a few minutes ago. When the officers were using it, when the decision makers are using it, it seems like they have some kind of dashboards. Have you launched the dashboard?
We haven't officially launched what we call our dashboard. We have launched dashboard type screens that make the data very easy to understand and present multiple pieces of data. And some people may call that a dashboard. Our actual launch of our dashboard will end up taking place the first of 2013. And we're working on the development on that right now. Initially, it'll be at a very senior level, focused primarily on the readiness piece. But over the course of the rest of FY13, we will develop capability to present dashboards associated with people, with equipment, and with training.
How different will it be from what the people see as the data is presented now to what they'll see in 2 or 3 months?
It'll be much more graphically intensive. We're going to try to, I use the term paint a picture a lot, but instead of providing data, we're going to provide more pictures that are then backed up by data. So if a senior leader wants to log into, ideally, by the end of this year, a senior leader such as a brigade commander will be able to go into EMDS, will be able to create a dashboard that is focused on their brigade, and they'll be able to see an instant picture of the people, the equipment, the training, and the readiness for their unit on one screen. And it will flag problems, because at the end of the day, that's where their real concern is where the problems are. It'll flag those problems, and they'll be able to go dig in and find that additional data about that problem.
When you say paint a picture, I'm thinking, you know, a dashboard that you see that this the Obama administration has mm-hmm. been using dashboards for different things, open right. government, for instance, mm-hmm. The red, yellow, green. That type of dashboard, will it be, you know, bar charts, will it be circles? Do you even know yet?
Yes, as a matter of fact, red, yellow, green, bar charts, pie charts, graphs, that type of dashboard. We have done some prototyping over the last few months and are beginning the early development now on that in order to deliver it first of the year.
Are you counting on a specific tool that's already in place from EMDS, or is there a tool that you're adding to it or buying to attach to the main system?
We're actually going to take advantage of the Oracle BI portion of our tool. It's a solid piece of software that we've been utilizing now for several years. And as our ability and our knowledge has grown with BI, what we can actually get out of it has also grown as well.
We have to take a break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. This is a special edition of Ask the CIO. My guest today is Lieutenant Colonel Bobby Saxon, the Division Chief for the Army Enterprise Management Decision Support System.
Those old blankets and towels you may want to throw out can make a big difference in the life of a shelter dog. The volunteers of Montgomery County Humane Society are hosting their annual Holiday with the Shelter Dogs this holiday season, and you can help. Your generous donations of blankets, toys, towels, and dog beds can make a big difference for a homeless dog. You can drop off your donations at area bark stores in Rockville, Olney, and Gaithersburg. For more information, call 240-773-5960.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. This is a special edition of Ask the CIO. My guest today is Lieutenant Colonel Bobby Saxon, the Division Chief for the Army Enterprise Management Decision Support System.
I know business intelligence tools are quite popular. Are you finding more uses for those BI tools? I mean, the dashboard's a pretty straightforward use.
Right.
As you're bringing in more data, and as you're dealing with unstructured data, are these business intelligence tools having an effect that may be kind of a pleasant surprise?
One of my constant concerns is how do we take better advantage of the BI piece of our tool? Because at the end of the day, the business intelligence, we believe we ought to be able to look at the data and take that data and turn it into real information. And the BI piece of that should be able to do that for us. Although the dashboard is the beginnings of that and seems kind of a real basic capability out there, we believe the business rules that we're going to apply to that data in order to present it on that dashboard are actually going to help us understand that and paint more of an informational picture for us.
How far along are you in that process to develop those business rules and then apply them? Because business rules, that's probably one of the hardest things. I mean, the technology, everyone says, is the easy part, but it's changing the way you use the technology and the information is always the most difficult.
That is an ongoing process for us. We have dedicated staff members that are working with the stakeholders, one-on-one in some cases, in order to pull those business rules out. We do a lot of prototyping to get those back into the user's hands, get feedback from them so that we can end up developing a tool that not only looks nice, but also paints the correct picture. And it's very easy, as you know, to take data and misunderstand that data and paint an incorrect picture. So we're back and forth. We do a lot of user acceptance testing with our tool and a lot of one-on-one work with our actual stakeholders.
You mentioned kind of focus groups around EMDS. You mentioned user acceptance testing. What's the governance on it? I mean, obviously, your office runs it, but who do you go to say, okay, here's the next step or here's the next set of capabilities we want to add? How does the governance work?
Our system is controlled under the Army G3, but underneath that, we have a stakeholders group. We have an executive steering committee, which is made up of general officers. We also, at the user level, I mentioned earlier, the user acceptance testing. We work very closely with the individual users, the action officers out there. And then we have some internal control, configuration control boards as well.
Because that's always the hardest thing, you know, how do you come to the decision of where to go next? Which actually leads me to my next question. Remember last time we spoke, you mentioned EMDS may fit into the Army's Global Force Management Data Initiative. You were just doing some early data gathering on this initiative at the time. 9 months later, here we are. Do you have a better sense of how it fits in there?
We will continue to work within the larger Global Force Management Data Initiative, and we're going to be consuming some data from the Army Organization Server. But initially, I thought that EMDS may be more involved in the actual implementation of the larger Army-wide GFMDI. As it works out, I believe that's something that's going to be moving in a different direction. We're going to have an active part in it. There's going to be global force management of the new data structure in EMDS over the next year or so. But the overall Army-wide implementation, that's going to be led out of the Office of Business Transformation.
Is that because you guys aren't producing any of your own data? You're aggregating data? So while this initiative maybe focuses on people who are producers versus collectors?
It makes more sense for that to be at a higher level, at the policy, the governance level, at the Army-wide level. As a system, we provide a tool for people to utilize out there. And although we have intimate knowledge, especially underneath the hood with this type of information, it makes more sense for it to be managed and governed by a larger Army-wide body like the Office of Business Transformation.
And I know those are the people also probably working on the enterprise resource planning systems as well, which I want to get to in a second. But first, one thing you said earlier was about 20 data sources you pull different information from. Will eventually some of those systems be shut down and EMDS will subsume them, or will they stay as feeder systems because, as you said, you don't create data, you collect it?
That's correct. We work with approximately 20 data providers to pull authoritative data from their systems. That number is constantly changing depending on what we're trying to present within EMDS. Also, systems come and systems go. Some of the ERPs are going to consume some of the old legacy systems, and when those do, we'll just simply switch our data provider from a previous legacy system to one of the newer ERPs. It actually might make our life a little easier. So instead of pulling data from three or four systems, we would pull it from one much larger system out there. But at the end of the day, our job will be to consume authoritative data from whatever the authoritative data source may be and present that data for easier end-user consumption.
So from an ERP standpoint, once the ERPs and the Army kind of get up and going, and I know some of them have made some progress, but as they're more widespread use of them, that could affect you as well. You said it could actually make your life easier. How would it make your life easier?
Well, it'd make our life easier from the data consumption point of view. Right now, we go out to each individual authoritative data source, and we work with pulling their data from them. In some cases, it's via a web service. Some cases, it's an Excel spreadsheet. Once ERPs stand up, we believe that that would be a more automated process. They will be consuming data from numerous other sources out there. So we may end up having a web service with one system as opposed to four or five different ways of pulling data from numerous other systems.
Which actually make the IT folks a little easier too, because they only have to worry about one web service having a problem or a bug versus, as you said, four or five. So that actually will bring some benefits that maybe sometimes...
It will benefit not only us, but the entire Army, because the cost associated with sustaining multiple data connections will be reduced over time as we do it in a more automated fashion and with less data sources.
This is just the latest release of EMDS, but you are always putting out more and more changes. Give me a sense, where are you heading next with it? What are the next set of functionalities?
Well, the near-term project for us is the dashboard that we talked about earlier. Again, that'll roll out in early 2013, and that will grow over the rest of the fiscal year. Two other things that we're working on is we're incorporating more historical data into our system in order to be able to paint a trending picture. And that ties into a third piece that we're working on, which is strategic readiness. We're working very closely with the Army G3 Operations Directorate. They're looking at how you paint a strategic readiness picture into the future. And we believe that one piece of that is to be influenced by the historical picture that had been painted, and it won't simply be a one for one, but it would be a feeder for showing strategic readiness in the future.
All right, sir. I think we're out of time, and we've covered a lot of ground here. It was a pleasure to have you come on.
Thank you so much, Jason.
You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. This has been a special edition of Ask the CIO. My guest today was Lieutenant Colonel Bobby Saxon, the Division Chief for the Army Enterprise Management Decision Support System.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.